And I wanted to bring those to your attention before I went to the document itself. Because they change. This is done for March, and of course April has occurred, so I have more information. There, in that CFO report for March, I had indicated a negative variance of only $8,894, whereas February, that number was $95,000, and it looked on the surface as though we would get close to our budgeted number, but as I always point out, the budgeted number is only $1,000,001, and we really need $1,500,000 or $1,600,000 in order to run the network. That's what we spend each month. There are other aspects that will impact even that forecast, so it's a little bit out of date. The first item would be the current drive situation. For KPFA, which just finished its drive, they're reporting that they will be $120,000 short of their drive goal. And KWBAI.
Who is reporting that?
KPFA. And WBAI is reporting that, you know, as of yesterday, they only had 600,000 on the drive goal of 900,000. And they have, I think, about four or five more days to go. KPFB is close to go off about 8 or 9%, which would be for them about 20,000. K is not in drive yet, and nor is W. So for the three stations, we see some results that are concerning. If those drive results look like they'll hold, and I think they will, that would mean for those three stations, we would be missed goal overall by $340,000. That changes my forecast because that means that those funds would not be recouped unless stations were to contemplate summer drives of a different length than is currently in the budget. And right now I'm in remedial mode, which is to say we're working with stations. Can those funds be recouped? In the case of A, they have some savings that they could draw upon for that $120,000. But again, that's into your savings. And that would have to be, I think, discussed here, too.
Well, Lonnie, the shortfall is less than our projected surplus for the year.
Oh, say again, Bob.
The shortfall is less than our projected surplus. So we wouldn't necessarily be dipping into savings. We would be still in the black at the end of the year.
Well, I've got here for A that your at least in March, you're projected to be a positive 97. You're negative 120. The difference would be there.
It's 120 in pledges, not 120 in cash.
It's 120, and it would be about
90% fulfillment, 6% pass through to KFCF, 3% credit card fees and mailing costs, 10% premium costs.
What would your net be against that 120, you think?
I would bet we're about 115 short now, and we'll probably make 15 more on the web before we close the Pledge Now form. That's consistent with past drives. I would bet we'll be 100 short on pledges, net 75 short on cash.
About 75,000.
On net cash,
yeah. It'll be a wait and sort of see situation. But you combine those two, and then you have K and you have W yet to go and drive. So anyway, the red flags are up, and we're going to have to strategize around how best, either on both on the station level and on the national level. The impact for us, of course, is less central services than anticipated in this case. Whatever that number turns, $250,000 would be $50,000 less. And I have plan B. I can deal with that, but that is something to think about for not only the drives that have occurred, but ones that are upcoming. The second item I wanted to mention was that I am losing Alvin Yip, who is my internal auditor. Alvin's moving on to bigger and better things. He's a CPA, and it was good we had him here as long as we have, but it means I'm shorthanded. And we're busy interviewing, but that takes a while. And then you're going to have to break in a new person. So I'm officially stating we can't take on any new heavy projects. And the accounting department will just burn my people out and burn me out in the process, too. But I expect to have someone on board in a couple of weeks. He's leaving us June 1st, and that's a little short notice. And he gave us 2 weeks' notice. And but 2 weeks' notice is still 2 weeks' notice. But we're working with it, and we'll see what we can come up with. We do have a couple of people that look good, and we'll see what we can do to replace him. We will miss him. He's made contributions to Pacifica and is excellent account. Excellent CPA. The third item I wanted to mention, and then I'll go right into the short version of the March financials. I won't read them to you. Is that that we already were thinking in terms of how to increase off-air revenue, and I did send out a brief description of a revenue-producing project that came about as a result of working with WPFW looking to raise revenue on its 30th anniversary. Turns out that all of the stations, including PRA, have anniversaries coming up in the next 5 years, so the proposal is that we created a Pacifica-wide event celebrating those anniversaries and use them to produce revenue. And I'll come back with more detail on that project as I gather information about what the cost would be. And I won't. That's only a week or two away, so I will have information by the next finance committee meeting on what the proposed cost would be and how it would exactly work. Okay, that said, but I think it's essential, as we all know, to look for off-air revenue sources, and the anniversary idea is trying to meet that need. It is clear that on-air revenues are becoming more difficult, so we need to get creative with the off-air. Looking at as a whole, I won't belabor March except to say on paper, but with the caveat that we, instead of breaking even, which is what the March forecast is saying, will likely be $250,000 negative variance as opposed to breaking even. So that is upcoming, and certainly the April financials will likely show that. And if I have any information on June, I'll throw that in. So the bottom line is we are in watch mode, and we're looking to actually try to recoup some of the funds that seem to be short for at least this draft period. So all the stations are, of course, aware, and people are strategizing, and they're working on it. And I'm sure that people will come up with ideas. What ideas? They may look to reduce expenses between now and the end of the fiscal. They may look to come up with other off-air revenues. I know folks are putting premiums on these websites. I know they're stressing also a major donor activities as a way to make up funds. I'm stressing website revenue strategies between drives, as well as mail drops. More and more folks are seeing that mail drops do pay off, especially if you cultivate people through that medium. So what concrete plans can be made between now and our report on the 7th, and certainly if there are some, I'll report back, including what we'll do with the national office. Okay, that would be my report.
Brian,
you yes,
Brian.
I think Dave has a point of privilege.
I couldn't hear it. Dave?
Yeah, I just started to say thanks, Lonnie, for having developed that mechanism, which I don't think we had a while ago, and it's clear that it's really a big help. So I think we owe you thanks for that.
Which mechanism?
The mail drop.
Oh, yeah. I know people have some trepidations about it, but it has saved us. And stations. Remember, that mail drop is not just for the national office. We are 3 months behind you folks. It takes you 3 months to get paid, so it takes us 3 months we have to wait. But what it has made possible is to support stations with a bad drive while they, you know, strategize about what they're going to do for the makeup. So I started to think what we'd do if we didn't have other ways to bring revenue to the network, and a mail drop is one of those ways.
Okay. Brian?
Thanks. I was curious, Lonnie, apart from the organization's overall bottom line, what you're expecting the impact to be on the national office budget because of the diminished levy. National office bottom line, sorry, not your budget.
I had anticipated it. So I think it will be none. I think we will overshoot our mail drop or revenue by 50,000. I said that before, and it's coming to pass. Our latest mail drop has broke even in 30 days. It's one of the best mail drops we've done in terms of how speedily it has recouped expenses. And we're now $5,000-$7,000 into profit, and the mail is continuing to come in. As you know, these drops can go for months. So to be above break even by $5,000-$7,000 after 1 month is pretty good. And I think we'll be at $50,000 in the next month, surplus net. So I feel comfortable that that's why we do them, because you never know what will happen with the drivers for the station. So rather than go back to the stations and ask them to make up the difference for the national office, we do the mail drop so that we are capable of helping ourselves in this way.
Okay. This is Lavorne. Lonnie, it's great to, you know, if you could just send the report so that, you know, I can look at it and see it, I can understand or see things better if I see the report. Like, if you could just send it quarterly, monthly, mail drop report.
It's in there in the income statement. It's, we even identified it as mail drop revenue, so you can actually see it. And I'd be happy to update you also on that item each month so that you can, I can give you the actual figures and whatnot. But it's in our, if you look in the national office, in this case it's line 964. It's labeled donations mail drop, and it shows you the budget and the actuals.
It's hard to figure out because the budget is 20,000 and the actual is 1 million.
I'm sorry, that's a continuing. But we did clarify for you folks this time the mail drops, what we expect to get.
Because on revenue,
right,
overall, on income before central services overall, you're projecting, as of March, a $300,000 shortfall.
Yeah, that's on the income side. But what we did is that we got very scientific about which mailing list we use. So we reduced our expenses by mailing out fewer items and saved the difference. And it goes to the bottom line. So this, the bottom line is that we will have a 1 month plus a slight surplus. You can either meet your revenue targets or you can reduce your expenses. So we reduced our expenses. That's that the difference in the revenue side is made up by reductions in the expense side. And in the mail drop area, we found that we didn't have to mail a half a million pieces. We could mail 200,000 pieces and get the same or more revenue. And that's what this mail drop demonstrated. That we cut the mailings that we did in half, and we got better results because we were able, after doing this, identify the mailing list that these acquisition lists, they really produce for us. And so we're gratified to see that it's done quite well with half the mailing.
Brian? I just think it's fabulous, and I'm with Dave. I think it's really great that you're doing direct mail. It's certainly a less disruptive way for us to raise money than interrupting our regular programming on the air, although obviously both will have to continue. In terms of the role this committee needs to play, when you have a budget line that is fully one-third of your budget in income, $1.2 million, we need to see some more detail in the reporting, which is what I think LaVarne is asking for. Because these are exactly the same answers you gave to the same questions last month. And at this point, it sounds great, but we don't have any detail to support that, so we have to take your word for it. And I trust you implicitly, but I shouldn't have to.
Tell me what you need. Cash is cash. And what I can do is just show you the detail of the mail drops. If that, we did that before, we can do it again. Not an issue.
Right.
There's a report.
Clearly, you're
on
tracking
them
if you're projecting based on them.
There's a spreadsheet that you
do. That. It's here. It's here. I mean, what I'm projecting, not only for us, but for every line item and every station, is right here in the forecast section of this income statement.
Question.
I do that every month. And so if you look at this, you'll see what I'm forecasting. And it's not just mail drops, by the way. Remember, we use the shorthand term mail drops, but what we were actually doing are 250,000 people get a letter from us, and those turn into large, not just large donations, but people remember us in their will. And as you recall, last year, that was, I don't know, $900,000. And this year, it's at we'll see $700,000. So it is not just a case of getting mail drops, $25 donations. It is a way of making people aware of Pacifica, and they become part of our major donor cadre. And it creates the awareness that results in people remembering us in their wills and in their trusts and annuities. So this year, I think we are at a point where we've already gotten 600,000 in annuities and in will revenue coming from people and remembering us in their will. And it's a result of the mailings, most half of it, a lot of it's a result of the mailings, and we can track back to how they came to become aware of it. So we say mail drops, but we're not doing the traditional mail drops. We are doing mail drops that encourage people to remember us as beneficiaries.
Okay, this is Lauren again. Lonnie, there's a spreadsheet that you have. I think that you worked it up, I guess, with Phil, and it shows the mail drops. It's a spreadsheet. So you could just give us that spreadsheet.
Yes,
didn't
we last quarter?
I'm looking for it through my Lonnie reports, and I don't see it. So
we gave it the first mail drop. The last one we did was in September, and now we've done one just dropped a month ago, so I'll update you on that one.
Okay, but you're familiar with the spreadsheet I'm talking about, right? It shows each mail drop, it shows the expenses, it shows the income, it shows it by month. But, I can just summarize it myself. You can throw out the raw data, and I can put it in a quarterly basis or whatever and send it out to everyone. But that's the spreadsheet you need to
do. I could send you something right now. But this mail drop is not over, of course.
And take a look at it. Okay.
Yeah, it's not about to show you what I've got as of yesterday.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's called the spring mail drop, and I can forward it.
This one also shows all, it shows all mail drops, not just, it wouldn't be just the spring. But, it might be on, you might have more than one sheet on there, right?
Yeah, you got those tabs down below. Remember, read
the tabs. Yeah, the sheets. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we try to keep them as work plans. But let me send it to you, LaVarne, and so you have it right now, and then maybe you can forward it to people. I'm sending it right now. So we do track it. It's just I hate to predict a great, wonderful, successful mail drop without after only 30 days out.
There's no prediction. That's a forecast, Lonnie.
Well, I'm cautious, but we've gone past the world break even, and that's
mm-hmm.
good. So that's
okay.
Where it's going to be 30 days from now. I do a forecast based on past performance. But I just sent you spring mail drop as of May 21st. So it's right there.
Okay.
And so I could do that for you. I'll generally do it after we've actually done a mail drop. So we haven't done one. The first we've done since September, so this is, as I say, 30 days old.
Okay, I heard Dave.
Brian had said something about 2 million, Brian, that you said, proposed revenue?
Well, that's their listener support line. They have a donations mail drops line that has 20,000 on the budget, so I'm assuming the mail drop revenues budget is listener support.
My memory when we approved this year's budget was that we were saying it was going to be 1.9 million. Am I right that it was 900,000 last year?
No, that's total budgeted income before central services, including
grants. Total budget, not mail drop.
But my understanding was that was supposed to come from that increment was supposed to come from the mail drop.
No.
Something obvious?
No, the actual budget for the mail drop, well, for, you have to take the two together, but the mail drop is $1.2 million. That's what we budgeted. And it looks like we'll get to about $1 million, and the actually $1.1 million will be short, $150,000 in the mail drop area. Other revenue.
Your bottom line has gone up.
Yes. And so, but other categories, we're not getting the funds we thought we would get, and that's why we get to $300,000 short. But if you look to the bottom line, we've cut our expenses in these areas, and so our bottom line is we'll have about 1 month, as we normally do. And so we've done it by cutting back expenses. That's just good planning. As we see the revenues drop, we right away look at future spending and cut it back. That's how it's done, and that's what we do. So right now I'm finding that the station's revenues are lower than anticipated, and as soon as I leave this call, I'm going to go right through my budget, our budget in the national office, and cut it back. That's how we keep up and figure out ways to not spend money.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard someone speak.
That was Terry.
Okay,
this
Terry.
Jane.
Jane's been waiting.
Then Jane first.
Yeah, no, I just, Lonnie, you mentioned earlier that there was about a 90-day wait period before the stations got paid, and I just would like clarification of what that statement meant.
Well, the way the finances at Pacifica work, and I've tried to explain it before, but it's a little bit, the stations may have pledge drives in which they will be pledging for 2 weeks or so, but they don't get that, say, let's call it $900,000. In any sort of cash basis, they get about half of it in credit card payments. So they will get, say, a $900,000 pledge. They will get about half of it in credit cards. And that comes in fairly quickly in a week or two. But that only gives them half of that $900,000. Then the remainder of it takes 2 to 3 months to come in, sometimes more. You got pledge size for 8-9 months it takes for the full pledge amount.
I'm sorry, I just have a clarification. I should have asked the question differently. That statement, that related to the mail drops, didn't it?
Well,
related
to the impact on the national office. That when it takes the stations that long.
I'm sorry. I thought you made that statement in relationship to the mail drop program. What I thought I heard you saying is that the stations would be seeing some cash influx due to the mail drop program, but that it would take there might be a 90-day delay with that. I just wanted to clarify if I heard that correctly.
Oh, no, I was saying that because it takes the stations 2-3 months to get their funds, they don't pay us for 2 or 3 months. They're creating a real cash gap.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I was just thinking that we were going to be able to start seeing cash coming back the other direction from the national office.
But what happened?
When I got a mailing here at my house, national mail drop, and I remembered conversations we've had in the past about being able to earmark those funds that come from listening areas, and I thought that somehow magically that there had been some mechanism worked out so that there was a.
I wish.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was my question.
Yeah, that was saying why we had to do third mail drops in order to cash gap is 3 months long, so we had to find a way to live.
I understand that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I just didn't know what that statement referred to. Now I do. Thank you.
Okay. So, now if we go to, or do we have any more discussion?
Terry.
Terry. Yes.
Yes. Considering that employee-related expenses are increasing and the CFO has reported shortfalls on some fund drives, I'd like to propose a resolution that I don't expect the National Finance Committee to consider at this time, because I think treasurers will want to discuss this with their local station boards. But nonetheless, I move that the National Finance Committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board, pursuant to its authority under Article 3, Section 1A of the Foundation bylaws, vote to adjust the minimum contribution for listener-sponsored memberships in the Foundation from $25 to $30 annually.
Discussion?
Amendment, Terry? I think that we added an amendment that says that the Finance Committee recommends that all budgets be submitted for an 18-month budget. That would be accomplishing some of the forcing folks to look carefully and see these funds are shrinking. And that we on the Finance Committee and Board need to understand that and see, and the stations need to understand that the funds are shrinking. An 18-month budget will force people to deal with that issue. A year budget is not long enough, but you need to be able to see. So I'm suggesting an amendment to it that would also add that the budget cycle presented be 18 months.
I think that we
I think that's a completely separate issue.
We passed that motion. Along with the budget timeline?
Yeah,
did we do that?
No, we did not.
We did, I'm trying to find my report here, and because I believe that we did pass
18-month cash flow is what we said.
Yeah,
it's never been codified into any kind of a policy. It definitely did not get brought into our budget timeline that I'm aware of.
Okay. I'll look for it.
Brian here.
But I think they're separate issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello? No, please. Please let Jane finish.
Are you through?
No. I just wanted to. Somebody else said that, and I just wanted to agree.
Right.
That's all.
Terry, I'd be happy to bring that proposal to my LSB for feedback. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit as to your rationale for it, so I know. How about to paraphrase your position?
If I'm recognized, I will.
Terry.
Yeah. We had a KPFA budget meeting maybe yesterday, but we didn't make quorum. And I suggested that there and got my local manager's endorsement of the idea. Pretty much it's just an inflationary raise, as people are getting used to paying more for everything else, they can expect to pay more for their membership in the foundation. The question we have to confront is, will increasing the annual membership rate result in fewer subscribers and so not make up the difference, or will this actually raise our annual listener sponsor revenue?
Is Dave?
Yeah. Dave?
If you look at the contribution, the pyramid of contributions, so most of our money comes in at around, last time I looked at it, which was a couple of years ago, was around $100. It's probably up now to $125. And the concern is that we always talk about youth and serving a sector of the community they may not be as affluent. My view is that as everything else gets more, the likelihood that low-income donors are going to give to our station actually drops. And I would be other strategies more than the low end because, but before I even considered it, I'd want to see what proportion of revenue the low end is currently contributing. And two, I think something that to be really judged on a station-by-station basis. Even as it is right now, we don't even promote the $25 on certain shows. And so, and on those shows, they promote that because they know there's a lowing, that it's young people or other factors. So I think that stations are able, their MEMS reports and the rest, to make adjustments about the level that they target raising. I'm not sure that policy network-wide is the best approach.
Brian here.
Okay, Brian.
I think it's I mean, I think Terry's right that an inflationary adjustment is appropriate. I mean, since $25 was codified in Pacifica's bylaws, I don't know, 4 years ago, we've had compounded inflation approaching 20%. And the issue is that the cost of servicing subscriptions rises. So printing goes up, postage goes up, the cost of sending out a bill to someone who made a pledge, the cost of sending out a tax statement at the end of the year, cost of sending out a newsletter or folio if you have one that you mail to your members, and the other costs associated with servicing a membership. I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean, I think Dave's right. Our average pledge in the last drive, pledge amount, was $121. I don't know what the median was. That was the average. It was twisted upwards by the fact that Amy was pitching $1,000 plate dinners with her for that drive. But, you know, and I think it does make a difference. I mean, here at KPFA, every time I pitch, and I pitch about three times lots a day during the fund drive, I make a point of saying that the membership rate is $25 and earns you the right to vote. And it gets put on the cheat sheet that's handed to everybody who pledges. And there are a lot of a number of people who pledge at that amount because that's what someone on the air just said. And probably a significant portion of them would not think twice about pledging at 30 versus 25. So I think it might be good for us as an institution to acknowledge that when our costs go up, you know, we have to raise the price of what goes out in exchange for the cost.
And Bertel is back, please.
Hi, Bertel. Jane and Bertel.
I just real quickly, I know from past experience what the response from our local station board would be to a motion like this, and that is this is small potatoes compared with the bylaws revisions, which people perceive are needed. When the proposed bylaws amendment concerning reducing the in-person meetings from 4 to 3 came before our local station board, it was 23-1. I was the only one who voted in favor of that. Basically, there was an argument made that it was an insult to bring a single item like this to us when there has been a promise of a bylaws convention and various things. And so the sentiment that won the day is that that there was not a will to address a single bylaws amendment.
Madam Chair, would this involve a bylaw amendment? Is that what you're saying, Jane?
That's what it sounds like to me.
It would not.
No.
Bertel?
Yes, Bertel.
It would not? Doesn't it say right in the bylaws that it's $25? Terry?
It says that, and it says that the PMB may change that by vote without a bylaws amendment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Bertel?
Well, you know, we know that it's always a political posturing about, you know, addressing the needs of the needy and all that stuff. And before the bylaws were adopted, I believe the pledge drive was $50. And then through a lot of political posturing, we brought it down to $25. But there were also provisions made for hardship. And so for members not to become members with less donations, I think it's absolutely necessary for us to increase the membership. And I would like to ask Lonnie if he knows the percentage of pledges that are $25, and so that we can know how much that would impact our revenue. And then the second thing I have to say is, you know, we seem to be focusing on this a lot, and now we kind of rely on the mail drop, which we did not kind of support wholeheartedly in the beginning. I think we have to really start thinking about whether or not this finance committee should also have a fundraising committee outside of all those means, because we obviously need to raise more money.
Okay.
Terry?
Lonnie? Terry?
I'd like to move postponement of this item to the meeting after next.
Okay. So you propose to move it to June the 28th?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I'd just like to comment briefly that, we would need to see, like, look at a MIPSIPS report to see how many pledges are coming in at 25. Because actually, you know, in order to increase membership, I mean, if we have a lot of pledges coming in at 25 or certain percent, I don't know, 4, 8, 6%, you know, I would even suggest we reduce it, because that we will increase the membership, realizing that there are costs involved. But I think that if we can increase the number of members initially, that those members will actually move up to a higher donation once they get in. So I think the strategy really in terms of is increasing membership by, you know, allowing people to pledge at, I don't know, 15, 20. And so, you know, and with the long-term strategy that it would result in an increased number of membership versus decrease. And I think that just in terms of how that would be, how you would position something like that in terms of in the media, that I think that, I would prefer not to. I would prefer to even decrease as a strategy to increase membership versus increase it. But, okay, great. Okay, should we move the agenda? Oh,
Brian,
there is. Okay, Brian, because here's the point I need to ask Lonnie, too, the one we had talked about earlier. Brian?
Oh, well, along with the motion to postpone, I guess it would be appropriate to request information between now and when we take it up. And I was wondering if we could ask for a MEMSIS report that shows the spread of annual giving amounts network-wide. I don't know if you guys aggregate that information at the national level, Lonnie. But it would also be useful to see a cost analysis on what it takes to service a membership for a year during an election year.
This is Dave.
Are you through, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, but doing all that is a lot of work. Bonnie said he's losing a staffer, and so I just have a question about the urgency of this question. The local stations are still able to make the adjustment in terms of the level they pitch at. So I'm wondering whether we really want to ask that work be done. What I would recommend, rather than ask Bonnie for, is that each of the local treasurers ask a pyramid of contributions from their local business manager and do that work between now and the next meeting.
Yeah, I can do that for APFA.
Yeah, I think that has to support that.
They can get it.
A lot easier to get it that way, too. They can print out those reports fairly easily.
Yeah, you can get the MEMSIS reports that shows that. Okay, so the action there is to get the MEMSIS report to show the pledge level?
Yeah, maybe an average. That information is aggregated. Of course, there's the issue of names and donor names and the rest of it that have to be addressed.
You don't have to. There are numerous reports that comes out of MEMSIS. You don't have to do names. You just do total pledges at that level.
Yeah, I know.
It's called the Pyramid of Contributions, and it's part of the standard report that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's what we've asked for.
That's available.
Right. We've asked for that from our IGM, and we need to just ask for it again, Brian, if we can just put it on our notice that we need to get those reports.
So, Lavarne, it was never clear to me which MEMSIS report you were asking for. You want the Pyramid of Contributions report?
If that's the one. And, you know, well, what we can do, I can come up to the station. We can sit down with, when you have time, sit down with Chris and look at the available reports, and then we can ask Lim to provide those.
We move the agenda.
Okay. I think we have an action there. Okay. Thank you. No, but there's the one question we wanted to look at was the line item on programming that for the national office that we wanted to see. In fact, we were going to look at that motion. So should we? So the question is, should we look at the national programming line now in the March financials and move on the motion that Terry had proposed, or should we move that to the next meeting also?
Well, I can identify the line there so folks can go look.
Dave?
Yeah, we tabled it, so that's a move to this meeting. So we're supposed to take it back up again, no?
Yes.
Yeah, we need the information on that line item.
Okay, I found it, and where did it go?
So 1062.
Yeah. 1062, okay.
And that's under column AA.
Right, so the annual, okay, the budget is 287, is that correct?
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And the forecast you have now is 130?
Yeah, it's 129, around there.
129, 948, 130.
Yes.
And, and, okay, and we've spent, okay, so that's why you think that you could just add another line in here that would be specific for RFPs, and it would be the 50K, you're saying?
Yeah, I think we're safe in doing that.
Okay. Okay, and now the motion, Terry?
The National Finance Committee finds that the CFO's proposal to transfer $50,000 from the current budget for other programming to projects approved by award through an RFP process is financially feasible for the current fiscal year.
Comment? Any more discussion?
Well, I'll just reiterate my concern that I have problems with cannibalizing the programming line. Really think that's kind of at the core of what our work as an organization is supposed to be, and we shouldn't be limiting any further what's already a fairly limited budget there. We don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the fiscal year that might require emergency coverage. All we know is what the National Program Coordinator anticipates will require coverage.
Dave? For programming, I mean, we're saying three areas. One of them is programming. So that's reasonable that that's what we're talking about is allocating a portion of the programming, the other programming part of the budget to this mechanism. And then the question is this other $30,000. And what about this idea based on what we've heard about just doing it from the, can we bring it in from the income side, from the mail drop? Because I think we just heard we're ahead of that game. So if we're satisfied as to that, why not say that the programming RFPs will come out of the other programming budget and the remaining $30,000 will be added to the budget as a result of the unexpected good performance of the mail drops, the bottom line of the net revenue of the mail drops.
This is LaVore. I think that it's the clarity is here and apparent if you look at the other program. And the mail drop is discussion. I'll try to find that line that what you sent me. That the mail drop is, plus over the year, we have promised different things from this mail drop. We promised initially to give funding to WBAI and then to KPFT. And then we're saying, you know, we can move. But, you know, I don't see the numbers. I mean, it's not laid out there. I don't see the forecast to see where that's coming through there. So the other programming is very clear. And, you know, again, this is when we look at narrative for the plan, you know, and we've asked for this numerous times that we need to see basic project, you know, dates for each one of the major projects. And that therefore we will see what project has not been, that will not happen because of if we do this. Now, at one point we had talked about there had been a joint project between KPFA and the national office and that was perhaps some of the funds. But, you know, again, until we see this narrative, until we see this timeline with these projects and the amount and the commitment on those, you know, who knows? But the only thing you know is that in 2000, we see that the line was, like, loaded up because in 2006 the budget was 72. And the budget in 07 is over $200,000 higher. So, you know, again, we would need to ask Lonnie if there's more discussion. I mean, I would be willing to go along with in terms of reclassifying the line based on if Lonnie could give us, you know, in this line, this 287, what was the dedicated project by month for 2007?
Dave?
Sure, thanks.
You're raising the point that when we form these budgets, and particularly with the national budget, when we approve them, we don't look at that stuff right now. I mean, as you say, we don't see the detail in this National Finance Committee. We haven't looked at the detail when those things are formed. So if you're saying, okay, we say we can or not, what's really happening is it's Lonnie who forms those, so he's aware of what they're targeted to. But, you know, I think one of the things this speaks to is how we, when we approve budgets, particularly the national office budget, which isn't combed through by a local treasurer and isn't combed through by a local station board, and also tends to get approved rather quickly relative to the amount of time that the local station budgets are scrutinized, then we really need a standard for how we evaluate whether just the projections are reasonable or not. But based on the current situation and past practice and the rest, you know, it's Lonnie who is aware of what those programming things are, and I don't know what he has in terms of documentation about those details.
I do.
So maybe that's what we can see.
That budget was detailed out for folks. The question is, why was it budgeted so high? There are three answers to it. One of them was that, remember, the board passed the Spanish language programming budget. Remember, the ED presented that budget to the board. And then it was, you know, proposed funds for Spanish language programming, information, the programming for the descent program, remember? Those programs came in at much less the cost than was anticipated. So there's a surplus. The second one was when the new program coordinator came on board. He turns out came from a small station and is not used to spending large sums of money on programming. He's very frugal, and I really support that. So, and then the third reason was that programming was done, you know, 2 years ago on sort of an ad hoc basis, and as much as people would propose programs on the spur of the moment, and then they would sort of get to the air quickly. But that, while great for there to be that kind of responsiveness, also tended to make for more expensive programs. So those three reasons are present. One, that we didn't spend much money on the descent program or information in TiVo. We have a new program coordinator who is dollar conscious, and we're more organized around programming. So, yes, I'm happy to see savings in that area and hope that we can budget less next year as well. So that's the reason. And those budgets, in terms of what was in the 287, was discussed at the board level. It was a big deal putting Spanish language on board, and then the costs were identified.
Informed consent. Yeah. Okay.
Terry? Dave?
If Dave has a motion on the floor, I have possible language for it.
I was just going to make a motion that $20,000 shall come from the other. The $20,000 RFPs for programming will come from the other programming budget line, and the remaining $30,000 to come from revenues, net revenues from mail drop. I have a slight question here, which is, forget it. I'm just wondering, in the impact, we always talk about the source of funds, so I guess that's okay. Go ahead.
Terry?
So that's my motion.
I'm trying to get that motion down and see if this is close enough. That the National Finance Committee finds that the CFO's proposal to transfer $50,000 from the current budget for other programming to projects approved by award through an RFP process is financially feasible for the current year, but recommends that only $20,000 of the $50,000 come from other programming, and that the remaining $30,000 come from mail drop revenue.
My problem with the language is it suggests that we're contradicting something Lonnie said, and what I'm hearing is that we're just talking about the way this stuff gets what it gets called and slotted. Ultimately, money's coming in, money's going out from one pot of money. But I guess I'd prefer, say, we finance the financial, you know, the putting $50,000 towards those projects, as you wrote it, is feasible. The $20,000, we recommend the $20,000 for programming RFPs come from the other programming line, with the balance to come from mail drop revenues as available. And that way, we can then make later decisions about tracking the as available stuff, and we don't have to, you know, spend enormous amounts of time.
Okay, comment?
Brian here.
Yeah, Brian.
I think that with the financial impact statement, it's better for us to quantify the impact on the bottom line. We have a set of projections for March here, for instance, that projects a $262,997 surplus on the assumption that there's going to be underspending on other programming and in lots of other areas. Would it not be better to say something along the lines of, the NFC finds that the CFO's proposal to make money available for disbursement via an RFP process will reduce Pacifica's projected fiscal year 2000 surplus by $45,000? I mean, I don't think we want to be earmarking revenues. I also don't think we want to be reallocating expenses. This is a new expense. It's coming off the bottom line.
No, that's not my intent.
That's not your intent?
No, not at all. Bottom line will remain virginal, unchanged. You're just shifting funds from monies that you thought you would spend, but you did not, and shifting them over to this purpose. But the bottom line remains intact.
But your projections are based on projected underspending.
Well, yeah, just a second. Liney?
Yeah, I was saying that right now the projection is that we'll spend all of those funds in programming, and that creates a bottom line. Instead of spending all those funds in programming, we'll spend it on programming minus $50,000 for this project. There's no change to the bottom line.
Wait,
LeVon?
Yes. Just a second. We're all looking at the line here, 1062.
1062, your projection for the rest of this fiscal year, Lonnie, projects that at the end of the year you will have spent $129,948 on other programming. It says that your budget for the full year was $287,040.
Yeah.
Those both carry down to the bottom line. You're projecting a surplus based on underspending on other programming at $150,000. I think it's entirely accurate for you to project that if that's what your program coordinator is telling you. But what I'm saying is, if you're allocating above and beyond that 130 you're already projecting, you're taking money off the bottom line. And I think that's the impact that we have to make clear.
No, I have to disagree. What you see in my forecast is $129,000. I'm saying that that will not be spent, minus $50,000. It'll spend about $80,000. And so it doesn't.
I see. So you're saying that your current forecast is that you'll spend less than you projected in March.
Yes, that's how you have to look at it.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, wait a minute. Just a second. Just a second, Dave. So your actual versus your budget, your year-to-date variance. Now, I'm trying to find at the very front here, you have your current year actual versus budget, current year year to date, current year year to actual versus budget year to date, future forecast period, future budget, the variance forecast amount. Okay, so that's the variance there, future 78. So you're saying current year forecast annual total is 130. Annual
yeah.
budget is 287, and your hey, your actual
yeah.
versus budget is 160.
Yeah, the variance is 287. So
No, the variance is 157.
Yes, right.
Oh, but it says actual versus budget year to date, but I don't think you mean year to date there. I think you actually mean current year. You're looking at the annual.
Yeah, I'm looking at the annual. That is where we'll
right.
be. And
right.
I'm saying that that from the period March through September 30th, this is a forecast column, that
uh-huh.
we previously forecasted they spent $129,000. Doesn't
right.
look like they're going to spend $129,000. And so I would change the forecast to about $80,000.
Okay,
because
so
that was
you're
your projection
right
for the
here.
Total
okay.
year spending.
That's correct. I always
year to date
that.
Plus projected.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have two budgets.
Yeah, so he's going to take it right out of there. And so you're still going to have this positive variance of 157 and the 130 you were just kind of like holding because you didn't know what was going to happen. You could just use that.
Right, right. So there's no change to the bottom line. And that once you take out 50,000 from that 129, you end up with an 80,000 forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And your variance goes up by that same 50,000. So it shows instead of 157,207, 207,000. I'm suggesting that you take 50,000 of that 207 and use it for another line item. No change to the bottom line, just moving the dollars around.
Okay, so where are we standing, Liz? We have a motion. So I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you may. Yes.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome.
So there's a confusion, partly based on the motion that says we identify the source of funds, because that can mean a couple of different things. Ordinarily, what we're saying is what budget line is it coming from? Like, for example, when the national board says, you know, we want to hire a facilitator for a meeting, when we ask for the source of funds, what we're talking about is it's coming from the budget that's in the national board budget line. But there's this other concept of source of funds, which is kind of what Brian was talking about, which is when it comes off when you make more, for example, you had more revenue, you don't change any of your expense lines. They were all the same, but you had more total revenue. And then you're saying, well, the source of funds is really coming from a larger than expected surplus. And so what you're talking about is expanding, if it was into an existing expense line, you'd be talking about expanding the allocation there. So is what you're saying, we should be saying something like, the projection is that the national office budget currently will come in with a surplus of X more than expected, and therefore the funds will come from this increment, and the final bottom line will be at blank. Is that the point?
I think you're getting close to it, but I actually don't think we should paraphrase Lonnie's projection, because basically we're dealing with two projections right now, his March projection and his current day projection. He's saying that in his current day projection, he's expecting even less spending than he projected 6 weeks ago. So I just think, look, what this is an unbudgeted expense, right? It's not something that was anticipated in the budget line. It's not like we're telling them the impact is, yes, you can hire an attorney to do this, but you're using all the budgeted money for attorneys for the rest of the year. This is an unbudgeted expense. The impact is on the bottom line. Depending on the nature of the proposals that money is dispersed for, it'll actually wind up on different expense lines. I think the relevant thing from an oversight point of view, from the board's responsibilities point of view, is that whatever at this moment the CFO is projecting the organization's surplus to be, it would be up to $50,000 less if this is implemented by the end of the year.
Well, I would like to, I think what the motion should specify is that maybe that this is a, I don't have the budgets in front of me because I'm traveling and I don't have the document. We are right now projecting that the bottom line will be larger for the national office than was budgeted. Is that correct?
No, absolutely not.